Before we start this week's episode, a major announcement. The Signature Sunday Scaries scented candles are officially back in stock for the holiday season. So whether you need to re-up because you breezed through your first candles or you're looking for the perfect gift for a loved one, head over to the link in the description of this episode. I will say we sold out in 24 hours of the last batch, and while we did order a few more this time around, I do anticipate that they'll go pretty quickly, so time is of the essence. But without further ado, my name's Will DeFries, and this is the Sunday Scaries Podcast, your cure for the Sunday blues. How many of you out there are currently watching the newest season of The Crown on Netflix? Anyone? I know, it sounds kind of like the television equivalent of reading a book, but please believe me when I say it's worth it. I mean, this season alone, we even get Princess Diana, so it's at least entertaining. I've been watching it since its original release on Netflix in 2016. It's been one of my top five shows ever since. Sure, I did like Claire Foy more than Olivia Colman, but that's neither here nor there. They both give Golden Globe-worthy performances, so it kind of just comes down to a matter of taste. But while the writing is remarkable and the budget is absolutely insane, there's something smaller about the show that has drawn me in from the beginning, and that's the style. I'm not talking about the royal jewels or Prince Philip's going out clothes, but about the real star of the show, British country clothing. If that term sounds vague, well, it's because it is. But a simple Wikipedia search yields this definition. The traditional attire worn by men and women in the British countryside. The choice of clothing when taking part in outdoor sports like equestrian pursuits, shooting, fishing, and during general outdoor activities like walking, picnics, and gardening. This season of The Crown, and especially the second episode titled The Balmoral Test, is a tribute to the look. And the staples of this look are fairly simple. For headwear, it could be a flat cap or deerstalker, two things I won't explain because you should avoid them at all costs for fear of looking like a tryhard. For footwear, think tall rubber Wellington boots or even a pair of Blundstones will do. For jackets, which is the main component of this, imagine waxed and quilted coats, dark browns and greens, suede or corduroyed collars, or even tweed to really protect against the elements. And if none of that makes sense to you, just imagine a dreary rainy day in the Scottish Highlands. These are just the clothing versions of that. I grew up in a house that had British fox hunt prints sprinkled throughout it. Paintings of men riding horses with bird dogs running alongside them. I think I was always conditioned to enjoy the style of old-fashioned, just kind of British countryside clothing. And while I don't think Northern Michigan fall and winter climate has deterred that, it's just something I really enjoy. As of late, it's become more and more popular. Waxed hunting jackets are a staple in bars these days, whether in New York City, San Francisco, or Washington, D.C. It's a preppy look without skewing too vineyard vinesy. You know that no one wearing one in a bar just got done with a fox hunt, but those people, myself included, simply want you to think that they just got done with a fox hunt. If you've ever seen photos of the Farr's Hills race meeting, also known as the hunt in New Jersey, you won't see photos of a horse race or hunting. All you'll see is a bunch of preppy Northeastern kids getting absolutely bombed in a field while decked out in clothes that should be reserved for old men in the Cotswolds. But honestly, despite never going, it does look pretty awesome. If you haven't figured it out by now, yes, I've bought into this look for years, and I really don't see myself looking back, maybe ever. My staple piece is a green waxed Filson mile marker jacket. It's got a dark brown suede collar. It's recently re-waxed sheen that rain dare not do touch, as it will simply just roll off my shoulders, and I've worn it everywhere from walking my dog at home to sloppy post-grad bars to even the Scottish Highlands. Frankly, it's the most versatile jacket I own. Fortunately for me, I had a Filson Pro deal for 2 years, which meant I got half off of everything. It made the $395 price tag a lot more doable. Most popularly, though, are barber jackets. Whether it's Daniel Craig wearing one in Skyfall or the actual Queen of England sporting one on holiday, you know exactly what I'm talking about, even if you're not familiar with the brand itself. You can pick one up yourself, but again, it's going to run you a pretty penny, about $400. Or if you want to get the trendiest of barbers, their recent collaboration with streetwear brand Noah will cost you nearly $700. If you want to hear more about that, I actually talked about it during the fall fashion episode with Barrett Dudley. There are less outrageously expensive options, though. The Double L Wax Cotton Upland Coat from L.L. Bean will cost you about $249, and it's pretty sharp. The Lined Long Haul Jacket, an olive waxed canvas from Tailor Stitch, which is $208, and the Austin waxed ripstop jacket from Bridge and Burn for $167. But Christmas is coming, so don't be afraid to ask for a couple of the options in hopes of getting the more expensive ones. Will I ever wear my wax jacket again in a situation that it's actually made for? Hunting, fishing, long dreary walks along the English countryside? Well, I hope so, but in the immediate future, it's not looking all that promising. For now, I guess I'll just have to accept that when I do wear mine, people may just think I'm trying to look like an extra in this season of The Crown. And honestly, that's perfectly fine with me. Here's the cold hard truth, guys. Your skin has needs. If you want to look as good as possible for as long as possible, you need to address them now. We get it. You might not know where to start, but there's a company that's taken all the guesswork out of it for you. Lumen. Lumen is on a mission to help give men the amazing skin they deserve through high-quality, expert-created products delivered right to your door. All of their products are formulated specifically for men's skin and made to target skin issues with maximum efficacy using top-notch ingredients like charcoal, green tea extract, and vitamin C. It's not just about looking good, it's about feeling good. You need good skin health, especially as you get older, to prevent long-term damage. My favorite product from them, which I have a lot, is actually the moisturizing balm. I've never been one to care for my skin much. I've always been too lazy, and my skin really hasn't been terrible. But once I started using the moisturizing balm, I've just noticed that I just look a lot more fresh. Even if you have no idea where to begin, Lumen makes it so easy to find the right skin management system for you. Choose from different skin concerns to address, or just pick up their simple starter pack for free. Yes, I said for free. You deserve to look and feel your best, and here's where you start. Go to lumenskin.com/scaries and get a 1 month free trial of everything you need to start your skincare journey at home. That's lumenskin.com/scaries to get your first month free. lumenskin.com/scaries. I was 25 years old with not a lot on my plate, or so I thought. I want to say that I was immature for my age, but I think most 25-year-olds always feel somewhat inadequate when it comes to where they are in their lives anyway, so I'm not really sure. My weekly routine, while unhealthy, was pretty consistent. I had a very consistent work schedule, normally Monday through Friday, with weekend workdays mixed in when I needed. I rarely worked out, and the second I got done with work for the week, I found myself sending one of those, "So what are we doing this weekend?" texts that I kind of miss getting these days. As it turns out, what I did every weekend was go out, and go out hard. Whether I was going to bars and drinking at a friend's house, it became evident to me that going to bed at 1 a.m. on weekends was an early night. My return to work on Monday was pretty much like clockwork. My two-day hangover from Saturday was still going away, the work I did would need to be redone on Tuesday because it was lackluster and lazy, and my liver was probably begging me to drink a kombucha rather than a glass of wine that night. I know this really doesn't sound that out of the norm. For a lot of us, it actually is or was the norm. But once I did it for the span of about 3 years, I found myself hating the way I felt every Monday despite never doing anything to not feel that way every Monday. I didn't realize it, but I was burning myself out at a rapid clip. See, when you're in your early, mid, or even late 20s, you don't realize what you're doing to yourself when you don't take a night off. I hate the term weekend warrior, but it's a term for a reason. You've likely heard the phrase, and you kind of probably might even consider yourself one now. But if you're not familiar, a weekend warrior is someone who participates in an activity only in their spare time and very likely takes that activity too far due to the scarcity of it. In a lot of our cases, it's probably drinking. Whether it be exercise, drinking, or any other activity that fills your Saturday or Sunday, we can all identify with this mentality in a way. Weekend warrior syndrome is a term that's really popped up recently. Its actual definition is that it happens when people are too busy during the week, leading them to overdo it on the weekend. And while this normally pertains to exercise, the actual syndrome, I think we can all relate that this is probably better suited for going out and drinking. One physician described this as, how often does work get in the way of your weekday exercise regimen? Does Monday roll around and you find yourself with more aches and pains, even a new injury? You might be falling victim to weekend warrior syndrome, and no, it is not as cool as it sounds. And if you replace exercise regimen with social life in this scenario, it kind of works perfectly. Instead of a pulled muscle from a 5K run, you might have a bruise that you don't remember getting from the bar. Rather than a bad back, you have a constant Monday stomach problem because you drank too many fall beers on a Saturday night. Instead of feeling soreness as if you ran a marathon, you feel soreness because you had a marathon of drinking. In fact, we used to joke that our bodies don't feel normal until Thursday when we're ready to go back out again. I know this may sound like alcoholism to some, but to most people who consider themselves to be really social, it might be an all too familiar feeling of an extended hangover. Another running joke I had was that after a weekend of eating like shit and drinking everything in sight, You try to undo it all on Monday by drinking a smoothie, eating a salad, and pounding a kombucha. Sure, it may make you feel better, but I think we all know that a Cobb salad doesn't make 13 vodka sodas just magically disappear. Now, if you look up weekend warrior syndrome, you're gonna find something you probably don't wanna find, a bunch of tips on how to productively work out during the week. It's kind of like if you Google curing my Sunday scaries, where you just get a bunch of Forbes and CNBC articles written by buttoned up corporate suits who don't know what we actually have Sunday scaries. These tips, however, do hold some merit. So rather than go through them, I've modified them to fit the lifestyle of the binge-drinking 25-year-old that I see in my rearview mirror. The first, warm up and cool down. If you're going to go out hard, do what I learned to do at the age of 27 and limit yourself to only going out one night a weekend. Have a sloppy group dinner planned for Saturday? Maybe dip out a little early from happy hour on Friday so you're more refreshed. Forced to go to a birthday party on Friday night? Lean into it by sitting on the couch on Saturday watching football. I promise you won't drink as much as if you literally go anywhere else to watch football. Warm up with one night of recklessness and then cool down with one night of keeping it mellow, even if that one night still involves a bottle of Cabernet. The next tip was listen to your body. You wake up hungover on Saturday morning and Marissa has a brunch plan for everyone. You can barely move because of the shots that Tyler bought at last call, and your head is pounding and you're going to the bathroom, but you're too lazy to go to the bathroom to snag the Advil. It just feels like your personal Everest. So what do you do? Well, you drag yourself out of bed into brunch and you cure your hangover with bottomless mimosas. Sure, your hungover carcass of a body may crave more alcohol, but listen to your body. Skip the brunch. Get some more rest. Meet up at the bar. Truthfully, everyone will probably get too drunk at brunch and need a nap anyway, so just embrace that and skip it altogether. The next tip is work out during the week. Obviously, because this syndrome applies to exercise, we need to tailor this to going out, but this still has merit. Some of my favorite nights these days are the Thursdays where I have one or two too many craft beers with some friends. You wake up a tad hungover and loopy for work on Friday, but not enough that you can't just get your work done. That night of going out fills the void that you may have when your starting line is at Friday at 5 p.m. when most people your age are begging to get a drink somewhere. But if you go out on a weeknight and limp through your day of work, I promise you, you'll definitely not want to go out as bad on Friday and Saturday as you did before. And the final one is that they recommend having a buddy system. This pretty much to ensure that you're on the right track. A lot of weekends, I didn't even go out because I wanted to go out. I wanted to go out because I didn't want to miss out on what my friends were doing. The buddy system here, be forthcoming with your plans to dial it back certain nights. Get ahead of it by sending a text that none of your friends want to receive. And that text is, I think I'm gonna take tonight off. They'll beg you to go out, but if you can just get one more person on board to come over and watch a movie, you've reached the promised lands. But in all that being said, just be careful. When you get stuck in a routine of going out every weekend, your body begins to crave it. Mine definitely did. Staying in both Friday and Saturday, well, it can be even more a dangerous cocktail than that just ends up leaving you feeling too good on Sunday when you wake up. And what happens then? Well, much like how I hate the phrase weekend warrior, you'll find yourself doing another phrase that I absolutely despise, and that's Sunday fun day. But if you thought that your Mondays were bad after browning out on Saturday, well, buckle up. Even a kombucha and a chicken Caesar salad can't fix the damage that a hammered Sunday will bring upon you. Think about a time when you're struggling to find the right words or phrasing for something. For me, it's normally writing a business email. Do I sound too cold? Is there a more professional word that I should be using? There's more to clear effective communication than just catching spelling mistakes. Grammarly Premium gives you real-time feedback and insights to help you elevate your writing through tone, word choice, clarity, and more. We're communicating digitally more than ever. Emails are replacing meetings, and we're sending messages to loved ones. Because we get so many messages and documents, things start to blend together or sound the same. So more effective writing is the key to making better connections. Grammarly Premium gives you real-time insights and guidance on tone, word choice, clarity, and more, so you can communicate clearly and confidently. If you've been following me for a while, you know that I used to spend a majority of my time writing and editing columns. And I'd be lying if I said I didn't use Grammarly to help me not only just find mistakes, but enhance my editing skills. I downloaded it the first day I got my job as a full-time writer, and I used it every day of that job. They even have clarity suggestions, a feature that makes your sentences more clear, concise, and crisp by cutting out unnecessary words or redundant words. They have vocabulary suggestions to avoid overused words and redundancies. And they even have goal setting, overall writing score, vocab suggestions, clarity checks, tone, and they can even check for plagiarism. Grammarly Premium helps you write like a pro with advanced real-time feedback. Level up your writing for work, school, or in personal projects. Premium features include suggestions on grammar, punctuation, sentence structure, and style. It's the perfect writing tool for anyone who wants to stand out with every word. Elevate your writing with 20% off Grammarly Premium by signing up at grammarly.com/scaries. That's 20% off Grammarly Premium at grammarly.com/scaries. This week, I thought we'd end with a nostalgic nod to Thanksgiving, or kind of the night before Thanksgiving. What you're about to hear is a poem that I wrote for my original Sunday Scaries blog back in 2014. It was published in a couple other places, but it was one of the favorite things that I wrote before I had actually gotten a full-time job writing. Largely unchanged, this is the story of a young man in his early 20s returning to his hometown for the biggest bar night of the year. Presenting, 'Twas the Night Before Thanksgiving. 'Twas the night before Thanksgiving when all through the town, all of your friends are arriving, preparing to get down. Product is applied to your hair with care in hopes that your ex would soon be there. Your parents all nestled all snug in their beds with visions of Thanksgiving dancing in their heads. But your buddy in an Oxford and you in your sweater about to meet up at the bar with girls all the better. When out in your driveway there arose such a noise, your designated driver waiting with poise. Away in the driveway you fly in a flash, tearing open the front door, making sure you have cash. Arriving to the bar through the new fallen snow, Kesha blasting, this place about to blow. But when your wandering eyes did appear, your ex and her friends all ordering some beers. With your old friends intact so lively and quick, with your hair so perfect, so luscious, so thick, more rapid than eagles you flock to the dames, grabbing the perfect table for some classic drinking games. Hey, how you been? She asks with delight. From this point forward, it's on for the night. Now vodka, now tequila, now beer and whiskey. You can feel it in your loins, it's about to get frisky. To the dance floor you go, swagger straight stupid, about to take a shot through her heart like a senior year Cupid. You're vibing like old times, your spirits are high, all of your friends can see the old sparks fly. Off the dance floor you and your friends cruise, with a belly full of beer and a table full of booze. Again this year, your friend excitedly asks. Not opposed, you reply, seeming up for the task. And then mid frat lap, the bar you surround, a crew of out of town dudes come abound. Dressed in J. Crew, their heads to their toes, get a load of these nerds, your buddy goes. But then you see in the back, giving it a whirl, one of those nerds spitting game at your girl. Her eyes, how they twinkled, she's laughing, oh fuck. But this dude's hair is so thin, he's run out of luck. She can't actually like this guy, he looks like such a bore. Just because there's a goalie doesn't mean he won't score. Your approach to the situation, about to lay it on thick, she looks so relieved to get away from this dick. Heading out soon, are you coming with me? Hitting this dude from the blind side, never did he see. A wink of your eye and a twist of your head, visions of her in your high school bed. He speaks not a word, you've ruined his work, his chances are done, we're through with this jerk. You hop in the car, she's cold in her blouse, you offer her jacket, you're close to your house. Drunkenly thinking how you'll explain it to your mother, while your ex is in your bed under her duvet cover. Whatever, it's innocent, you've been here before, otherwise your night would be such a bore. So year after year, you keep on reliving that night in your hometown, the night before Thanksgiving. If you liked what you heard today, make sure to subscribe, review, or tell a friend in need about this podcast. By subscribing, guarantee that each and every episode gets delivered directly to your phone every Sunday morning. You can also follow along on Twitter at SundayScaries and Instagram, which is at Sunday.Scaries, or you can follow me on both Twitter and Instagram at Will DeFreeze. And remember, always trim the wicks on your scented candles. See you next Sunday.